Okay. So, we know who the saints are, right? Who are the saints? So, Susan, I'm glad you're here. We're going to try to answer that question of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. The saints and the faithful. So, who are the saints? Okay, they are the saved people. Remember, I mentioned that all through Ephesus, or the book of Ephesians, it's written to who? Saved people. It's written to the church. So the saints are saved people. Unlike a certain group that says you're a saint, you know, after you've done good works and you've been dead for 100 years, we'll vote for it, and if you get our vote, you're a saint.
Are you been appointed by the Catholic Church?
Well, that's kind of what I'm referring to. Okay. So you have to be a saint, probably depending on your works, maybe how much money you gave. I don't know how that works. But no. The Bible says you're a saint if you've accepted Christ, okay? And so the faithful group could refer to the saints that are faithful. It could refer to, could it refer to lost people?
It says they're in Christ Jesus.
No, so that won't fit. And so it could be the church at Ephesus, correct?
Right.
But you know what? I think it goes farther than that. Who else could it be? It could be you and me. Are we faithful? Is this book is written to a church. It has its own letter, but it was written to be read to the churches. Are we not a church? So if you look at that, the saints, I think, are really referring to the people at Ephesus, and the faithful is anyone saved from that point on, which would include us. So when you look at it in that light, we have a personal letter to us. Not only was it to the Ephesians, God put it in His book, He's preserved it, and we have it, so we can take this letter and basically make it ours. And it is a church epistle. So I understand, and you guys know that, but I'm like, I need to get that in our mind. This is almost like a personal letter from Paul or the Holy Spirit to us. Okay? So I just wanted to throw that out there because that was a question we all had. And yet, so maybe not everybody, to the saints and to the faithful. Why did he split that apart? Because I think he was talking about the saints at that actual church, and the faithful would be the people in Christ from that church all the way up to now. Does that make sense? Okay. So, I just kind of wanted to look at that. Alright. And so the next thing I wanted to do today, since you guys were writing your assignment out this week, correct? I have mine right here. Just want to show you. You don't have to show me yours, but I did have mine. And you have yours?
The ink is still dry.
Okay. was you writing that on the way here?
Yep.
Well, hallelujah. Okay, so remember, when you write this out, try to do it in chunks. Because when you do it in chunks, it starts to sink more in your head. Okay? And like, I don't know about you, if you just do one word at a time, it doesn't seem I don't get it as much. But when I put it in chunks, I'm like, ooh, okay. Now I understand it in fragments. I can do it. So that was our assignment last week. But we noticed again, how many sentences in this one? Roger, did you notice?
One, I think.
No, there's more than one, but not very many. So a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about all the abbreviation in these. And so we have, what's the abbreviation that we see so far in this? The types of abbreviation.
Commas.
What else? Okay.
Period.
And a period. Okay. We pretty well know what a period is. I think we could put that on there. Okay. Now, who wants to explain what a comma is?
It's a group of items.
It's a group of items.
Objects.
Like you're continuing a thought.
Yes. It's separating a letter.
You're starting.
It's a continuation in that. Yeah. We look at that.
And so I need somebody to volunteer to come up and write the definition when David sends it. Anybody? Susan, can you do that?
It's too bad. Cammy's not here.
Yeah, Cammy would come up and do that. Susan will do it if I ask her real nice, I think. Okay, so David's going to look up comma and he's going to give you the definition.
Comma. Oh, there's a few definitions here. It says, in writing and printing this point, comma, denoting the shortest pause in reading and separating a sentence into divisions. That's probably going to be this first thing.
Shortest pause what?
In reading. Come on, Susan.
What was the other?
Separating a sentence into divisions or members.
Probably a comma after reading. Is there a comma too?
I missed a word.
Was there a comma after that?
All right, so.
Yeah, and then it just says after that, according to the construction.
That's probably good right there. So it's a shortest pause in reading, separating the reading into divisions. Okay, so that makes sense, right?
Separating a sentence into divisions.
Okay, either. Okay.
What did you say? There is a comma after
yes.
reading.
Okay. How about you want to go ahead and look at a colon?
Only if you have a point.
Only one?
EMI, Richard. EMI.
Hard pass. There's so many in here. Colon. Let me find one which relates to the sentence because this is talking about anatomy.
Yeah.
The largest of the intestines.
That's a semi.
Okay. And grammar.
Grammar.
It is a point or character form used to mark a pause greater than that of a semicolon, but less than that of a period.
Oh, wow.
Well, that would be your own words.
No, that's...
Put that in your words.
There's going to be another.
There's got to be a better one than that.
Yeah. It is used when the sense of the division of a period is complete. Well, that's something out of that. Somebody else needs to read these. Okay, it's often used before an address, so that's not right.
You ad lib it.
Of course, it also says down here the use of a colon is not uniform, nor is it easily defined and reduced to rules. Indeed, the use of it might be dispensed with or without much inconvenience, or with or without much inconvenience.
That's useless.
They're all treated the same in Roger world.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Of course, it has a semicolon after the use of the colon is not uniform. Semicolon,
that's
nor is
it
easily defined.
Okay, we haven't got there yet.
No.
So it's a pause longer than a comma. We get that.
It's used after a complete sentence to introduce, emphasize, or connect directly related information.
She's looking at Google. Yeah.
No, she's
which is memorized. Which gives better than in here because it gives so much of the technical. This is the.
The old school.
This is the 1820.
What did it say?
This is the old one.
Say that again, Paula.
Used after a complete sentence to introduce, emphasize, or connect directly related information.
Yeah, like you're adding to what you've already written down in a sentence, and you want more information, you use a colon to introduce that information.
Such as lists, explanations, examples, or quotes. It functions like a let me explain or here's what I mean.
Right, I don't know.
That's okay.
Well, the first part, I think, is what we need.
It says the colon is often used before an address, a quotation, or example.
So I think Susan has it. It's used to introduce, connect more information to the sentence.
Directly related information.
Yeah, don't make me look up semicolon. That's better than just.
I'm gonna ask. David, pass it. Pass the dictionary back to Roger.
Semicolon.
No. Are you sure? Here. You already spelled it on the board for you.
Semicolon. Something that's prepping.
Logical.
Maybe it's a half.
Semi-size.
Yeah. Dictionary is really good at explaining. It's so technical.
Yeah, you have to be taught how to use it.
I've used that last one. Okay.
Whose dictionary is this?
She's going to look it up.
She's going to look it up.
1828. Mr. Russell.
But I could have brought my own. Oh, this one.
Here, got your phone.
When did you start that? So, sir? Should you look this up?
Not the old one, though.
Semicolon. The mark of a pause to be observed in reading or speaking. Less duration than a colon. Double the duration of a comma.
She's writing down what's on the side.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Connects two closely related independent clauses without a conjunction.
She was already actually writing that down.
Yeah. That one I got to do.
Without a conjunction. Do you think these definitions, abbreviated definitions, would be good notes in your Bible?
Well, that one's better. Yeah, signaling a direct logical connection between two complete sentences. Period.
That's it. Done.
Period.
Completion of a cycle.
End of statement, end of sentence. End of thought.
Full stop.
So again, the difference between a colon and a semicolon is what?
Colon introduces more information. Semicolon connects two directly related sentences.
Thoughts.
Okay, so a colon gives you more information directly related, and a semicolon puts two thoughts together, basically.
And those two thoughts are usually have commas within the thoughts. So that's why you have to have a semicolon too, okay, rather than just a comma.
It's got more than a comma and less than a colon. Yeah.
That sounds like one of my answers.
Huh?
Okay, and really with all these definitions, what usually helps is if you have an example of the definition given so that you can see, oh, okay, that's what that's talking about. Not just the definition itself sometimes doesn't help.
Examples in this.
Chair.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we do.
Thank you, Susan. I know it's a lot of writing. Okay. So even knowing these will help our Bible study, our understanding, because I don't know if you're like me, you just kind of run through those when you're reading.
Yeah.
And so, comma, we pretty well know. The difference between the colon and the semicolon is really probably what we needed to kind of look at. A colon basically introduces more information, more like a list. A semicolon connects two thoughts together, basically, between two sentences. Okay. Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody write that down so we can have it on our test. So if you can, kind of write it down on your paper. We'll leave it up here. But I wanted to kind of throw those out. And so, because our assignment last week was just write out chapter 2. Okay. Did you guys, when writing that out, did you come up with anything that you picked up on? Or any questions that in chapter 2? You know, last week, or the week before when I said, usually the first chapter of any book is the one that's loaded with the most information. I lied, because this one has probably just as much as chapter 1. There was a lot of information in this. And I don't know if you have notes in your Bible, but I've got them all over the place in this. And so in this chapter, we basically have what I call Ephesians Road instead of Romans Road. It's the same thing, only in the book of Ephesians. And if you read through it, you'll pick up on that. And so I want to just go ahead and, with the time left, just kind of read chapter 2 and just kind of give you a little more information on this. And so let's just go ahead and read it together, and I'll try to ad-lib as we go. It's verse 1, chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So as I go through this, think about it, because when I get done reading chapter 2, we're going to just go back and kind of look real quickly, try to just kind of, as a group, do a quick outline, simple outline, before we go back this week and do our own personal outline. So, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And we have a colon. So it's going to, we'll see how that connects. Number 3, or verse 3, among whom also we also had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love worth, he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Okay, again, a lot of information in this. Okay. And so what we see here is what I call Ephesians Road, and basically verses 4 through 9. We'll see all the aspects of that. We see Romans 3:23. We see Romans 5:8 in this. We see Romans 6:23. And again, we have the famous verse 8 and 9 that we are saved through faith, not and by grace, not by works. Okay. We are also saved in this chapter. It says, unto good works. Okay, not by our works. We see both Jew and Gentile in this chapter. We see that we see the church towards the end of it in this chapter. And God is building a temple, and we are that temple. We see all these aspects. And so this chapter is one that's kind of difficult to break down, honestly. I'm going to tell you it's going to be, because it bounces around. You'll see it. And so, I'm going to leave this on from here for now. And I'm going to take these off for right now. So, in this chapter, just by what I'm seeing, by what you guys have read this week and what you guys have written down, have you thought about a simple outline for this chapter? Anybody got a simple outline for it? Have you got that far? Okay. What did you see when I read it a minute ago? Did anything pop out to you? What's this chapter about? And kind of like Roger, he said, you know, he also goes through the who, what, where, when, and why. Kind of the same thing with this. What did you see in this chapter that popped out at you that maybe kind of explains the whole thing? Carrie, do you have a thought?
Reading it, I saw who we were before Christ and who we are now.
Okay. So, I'll just put that. So basically, this chapter kind of who we are before Christ. And who we are now. Okay. Do you guys kind of see that? And it's kind of mixed in all this.
It's almost like you did it twice.
Yeah.
You had the very beginning before and then who we were. And then once you get back into 11 again, it talks about back at the Gentiles. And then you get back into 13. But now, right, so it's like it bounces who we were, who you are. Remember what you were, but now look at what you are. To me, it seemed like it bounced back and forth
slopes. I see that. So I see it like bouncing. That's why I said it's very hard. And so I've also kind of was looking at that. And I'm like, well, you could break it down to verses 1 through 10 to our condition. And then 11 through 22. Relation. and then you can break them down farther. Okay? But I really like Carrie's up here. I mean, hers is always pretty good. And you know what? And my point is, I use all types of helps when I'm trying to teach a passage or I'll use anything I can. I'll use whatever books I can find. I'll use somebody else's breakdown if I can make sense of it, and then I can turn around and teach it back. So in other words, like I said earlier, if you want to steal something from somebody else, or like Sharon says, is borrow it, but I'm not giving it back. I'm keeping it. So my point is, learn from other people, and if someone else has a better outline than what you have, by all means, take that and use it yourself. Because I'm not the best at outlines. But if I can introduce somebody else into mine and then work through it and make it mine where I can explain it to somebody else, by all means, do that. Okay? Because some of us are good at outlining, some of us are not that good. Okay? So that's my point. My point is, our going through this is, we're going to try to make an outline. We're going to try to read it. We're going to try to make our notes. We're going to try to maybe do a devotion off of it. But if you hear somebody else that has some good points to it, by all means, borrow that, interject that in what you have, make yours better, and then you'll be able to teach it, do whatever you want with it. Okay? You hear preachers do the same thing. Preachers will go and hear somebody else preach, and they go, that one point you made, I've taught on this chapter for years, but I didn't see what you did. So I'm going to grab your point and I'm going to stick it in with my stuff. And they do that all the time. So Sharon, do you have a comment?
But I think it's really important that each one of us tries to do it with our communication with God and ask God to tell us, okay, what do you want me to learn from this? And that what he's going to tell me be what, you know, I see in it before I go to other places to see what they got. Because, you know, he's going to tell me something different, maybe, than somebody else. And so I need to have that, you know, I need to make sure that what I am getting is from God, and what he has written, what he has told me is in this passage, rather than what he has told somebody else is in this passage.
Okay. Well, it's a combination of both.
Right.
So, yes, that's the best thing to do. Come up with yours. But if you can find some resources to study some other people out and see where there's what kind of an outline they had, and see if it would and it would help make yours better,
right,
then do that. Okay. And so commentaries are really good. I use commentaries all the time to help learn things. I'll be reading in a passage, I'm like, there's just a few verses here that I have no idea what they are. I don't know what they mean. I'll pray about it, I'll think about it. I still don't know what they mean, and I'm like, okay, I don't quite know what this is about. I'll pull a commentary out, and I'll go to that chapter and go through it, and you know, 9 out of 10 times, I'll get down there to my question, what these verses mean. And the commentary guy skips over. They're not any smarter than I am. That happens a lot. Because there are just some things that most people don't have a handle on yet. So again, like Sharon says, try to do it your own. But when you need some help, you need some help refining yours even, then use other people's help. Again, the goal is to be able to take that chapter, take that verse, know what it means, and be able to share that with somebody else. But when you break it down and you go through this, it forces you to study that subject out. When you're doing a devotion, it forces you to get in there and dig it out. And if you're not doing that, we get lazy. We just run over things, okay? We need to study the Bible because we are commanded to do that, okay? And so I'm just going to give your assignment for next week is to go ahead and do an outline for chapter 2. And I want you this time to go ahead and do the complete outline. Do your headings and do your subheadings.
What about the key verse?
Yes, we'll do that too since you mentioned it. Do a key verse. Key phrase. Key word. Okay.
Key word, key phrase, and key verse.
Yes. And for those people on the back row, how many words have more than 10 letters? I'm messing with you.
This is for Russ only.
Seven words. You want to bring it to seven?
Seven sentences.
Seven sentences?
And I okay. I'm four right now, but I'm...
Yeah, go back and look.
Five. Five in chapter one.
Wow. Okay.
And I'd have to use a magnifier to see what is a colon or a semicolon or whatever.
So there are, okay, so real quickly, as I read through this and as you guys wrote it down, I'm going to ask you this. Is there a verse in this chapter that really God spoke to you with? Because there is one that really hit me. Okay, anybody? I know Carrie said she had a verse. What verse just kind of popped out that yet in this chapter? Okay, so read that.
Wherefore remember the evening and time past and tells in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands.
Okay, so how did that pop out at you?
Just because of the word remember. Remember what you were.
Okay. So, extra homework this week is define that verse in your words. What's that verse mean?
What, your key verse that you picked?
No, that's a particular one.
Oh, find the one that Carrie just read?
Yeah. Okay. What does that verse mean?
I found it.
You found your key verse?
No, I found Carrie's.
You found Carrie's. I want you to define that.
Okay, you want to define our key
verse. Oh, define.
No, I want you to define that verse.
Okay.
But I want you to find your key verse, too.
Verse.
Okay, I'm confusing everybody.
Define Carrie's key verse.
Okay. All right. That's her key verse. But I would like, do you guys understand what that verse says? Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? I mean, do you understand this verse? Can you define this verse?
I understand.
The reason I said that is because when I'm reading it, I got to stop and I had to think through this one. I'm like, what is he trying to say in this verse? So I just wondered if you guys had the same problem. Or is it clear as mud to you? Or, I mean, you have it 100%. How many of you can get up and tell me what that verse means right now? Raise your hand. Really? Okay. So, Gary, what does that verse say?
Well, it's so in times past, we were called Gentiles by the Jews.
Okay.
And they called us the uncircumcision. And they were the circumcision.
So very good.
We were, yeah.
Okay.
Their circumcision was in the flesh, though, made by man.
Yeah. Right.
Spiritual.
Okay.
When you're born
again, so you guys are smarter than me. I had to stop and think through that. And I'm like, okay, what's he actually saying?
Glad I'm here to clear that up.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, you're good. You're good. You get an A for today, a star. Okay, so we don't have to do that, but find your key verse. Keyword. There's key phrase if you can find one. And so let me give you a verse that God just popped out at me. Let me see if I can get back and find it. Verse 7.
That was my verse.
Is that yours?
Yes.
What did you see in that verse?
Well, it's what He has for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, what we're all waiting on.
Okay.
It's what He has for us in the future.
Right. Let me read it. So it says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. And I'm going to insert my name in there. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward me through Christ Jesus. So that basically tells us that in the ages to come, He is going to continue to shower me with blessings and knowledge and gifts that we can't even fathom.
Fellowship with Him.
Yeah.
And answered prayer.
Well, Ephesians 7 kind of says the same thing.
Ephesians 7?
Chapter 1, 7. Because in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace.
Right, but that's more of a right now.
Yeah.
This is, not only is it right now, it's going to continue.
Forever.
And you just think about God's love is just continually going to keep. This means that He's just going to keep showing it to us through the rest of eternity. And that's deep.
But His grace didn't stop with us.
Right. I mean, it's going to continue showing it to us. And so that's when it just really popped out at me. And I'm like, okay, so we know what we have now. We know what we're going to get. But that even when we get to heaven, that's not everything. It's just going to keep coming.
And it's forever and ever.
Yeah. And He's just going to keep showing us His love forever and ever.
I'm going to get a lot more of it from the rest of you. Because I require.
Because you need a lot more than I require.
So you
better
get yours
now. There may not be much left.
Okay. Wow.
If I could walk and stuff, it would be time to jump and say, oh, great. Thank you, Lord.
I know.
And be just rejoicing.
Right. And so once we get to heaven, He's all those promises we're getting. I mean, we've already got them now because we're seated in heavenly places. But we get all those promises. But it doesn't stop there. It is going to continue.
And our mind can't fathom
what
He has for us.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to stop there. So the assignment is outline, detail it, key verse, key word, all that. And is that enough? Okay. Okay. But again, you know, no pain, no gain, guys. So the more you dig in, the more you'll pull some verses out that, like, I've read that verse 100 times, but it didn't really sink in until I read it this time. And that's what we're wanting. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get out to the main service. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You've given it to us, and it's perfect, it's preserved, it's the exact words that You want to give us in English. We can't improve on them. They're Your words. So not only, Lord, help us to, as we go through this study, that we would dig out those words, we'd find the meaning to those words, we'd find out the meanings to all the pronunciation and to all the abbreviations, to everything we were looking at today with the colons and semicolons, to help us understand the full meaning that You want us to understand. And I just pray we would grasp that, we would look for it, we would want it, and we would desire it so we could just know You more, Lord. And we will give You the honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen.